true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
I just thought of this. I think it would be funny if there were a spiritual leader named I Hope Not Khan. Thich Nhat Hanh. Didn't I channel Thich Nhat Hanh on here once?
Maybe.
I know I did because I remember now. Rami called me after and was like, what the fuck? That was amazing.
The host is unable to receive your request to record on an incompatible client or device. Whatever. Jesus, just make me host and tell it to fuck off.
We're talking about how I channeled Thich Nhat Hanh. It's much more important than fucking Zoom.
Fucking Zoom. You channel Thich Nhat Hanh. I take things so a little too in stride, maybe. Like, yeah, whatever. Cool, you know.
I was actually thinking when we got on today, I was going to ask you this.
There's Betty White. Whatevs.
Betty White, Thich Nhat Hanh, whatever. Where are you at? Remember when we started this a long time ago and you were calling yourself, how did you say it, a friendly skeptic?
Yeah, that I was the friendly skeptic.
Where are you at now?
I mean, I'm not, skeptic is the wrong word.
Yeah.
Now, I would say. I'm the friendly, sure.
What does that mean?
It means... I know that sounds really dismissive, and I don't really mean, I really literally do not mean it that way. It means I, whatever knowledge and wisdom comes through those channels that are in existence through you, I'm 100% embracing of. I'm like, fuck yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because my experiential brain still doesn't wrap around that it's, quote, this is the hardest word, actually happening, doesn't fucking matter. To me, that's where I have to let go, because I can't go, I 100% know that what is happening is that you are talking to the dead bot brain of Thich Nhat Hanh. That's not what it is. Because I don't. I can't conceptualize that because I don't have that experience.
Right. I see. Right. You can't experience it directly. So you're not, you can't 100% say, how would you?
Yeah. So I just, I go with it.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So belief, maybe I believe it. I don't not believe it. Ooh, this is getting real like dicey, like where I'm, yeah. So it still actually makes me the friendly skeptic, I think, actually, to a certain extent.
You can feel free to speak the truth because weirdly, because we have so much time in this game together, I don't feel judged by you and I don't feel dismissed by you. I feel like you show up here and listen so open-heartedly and care and try and receive. So like, I could never fault you for how wherever you stand with it because you're so generous with how you hold it.
Thank you.
In practice.
Thank you for saying it that way.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I am often envious of a more fully visceral experience of the greater wowness of it all. I have this conversation with Denise sometimes where she'll be like, do you think I'm insane?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Because the shit that she says is very similar to the shit that you say, experiences she has with whatever, with things and parts and pieces and trees.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Really. My sound is not working in my own ears. So it's annoying. So I'm trying this, but that's probably too much, huh?
It's sexy.
Hey, Cassidy.
Yeah.
You want to talk about God? No, I just sound like a dying cowboy.
I'd like to talk about God.
You want to talk about God's jizz?
Sorry. So Denise and you will talk and...
And I'll just say like, no, I don't think you're crazy. I don't exactly know what you're talking about sometimes, but I don't think it's nuts. I think it's an experience you're having and the results, you know, and what is... I'm someone who definitely measures things by what comes out of it. If you were channeling and I felt like the stuff you were channeling was damaging or hurting or in some way like I don't think that's okay. Then I'd be like, well, if you are channeling, you're possessed by an evil demon, and I don't think that's okay. Or you're insane and you've gone crazy and you're hearing voices and they're telling you to, you know, the Twinkie defense. They're telling you to murder somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's where insanity would come into it, and in the bad way.
That's the Twinkie defense?
The Twinkie defense had to do with somebody killed somebody and then they'd eaten too many Twinkies. But that was what made them hear the dog tell them to. Maybe I'm smashing up two stories. Wasn't it around, what's his name? Harvey Milk. Wasn't that the Twinkie defense? The guy who killed Harvey Milk, maybe?
You know what's ironic about that is milk is delicious with a Twinkie.
Shit, that's bad. That is irreverent. Anyway, yeah. So, point being, I wish I had some of the...
You're looking up the Twinkie defense?
Yeah. I wish I had some of the more direct experiences.
Yeah.
Of...
Sure.
Of belief, you know, that would allow me to just totally go like, yeah, that's totally happening. Instead, I just go, cool, that's happening.
Yeah. So, I would say that, like... You would want direct experiences of the divine that would then create belief.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Rock on.
Instead, I have direct experience with divine wisdom through via you.
Right.
That has been transformative and utterly shaping of my life and others. So, like, what's to fucking look askance at that? Like, why resist that?
Yeah, I love that. That's cool. Yeah, I guess it's like the proof is in the pudding kind of stuff. Like, if it works, and I saw a weasel. Can I just tell you that my love affair with this dog, while you look up the Twinkie defense, grows stronger every day.
Aww.
Like, I honestly don't think I've ever experienced, in fact, I know that I've never experienced love that gets more over time. Like, it's like exponentially more, consistently.
Wow.
For every day, more. I don't think I even knew what that would be like in a human body. But the Squeezo Dog has taught me what it is. And then I was listening to an episode of Armchair Expert, and Dax Shepard was saying, I think people who are really into their dogs must have had a certain kind of relational trauma in childhood that means, like, you know, you only feel safe receiving love from an animal, not a human.
Because that's unconditional love, and you have no other model for unconditional love.
Right. And yeah. So I'm like, he's right. I think he's right. I think, like, there's a safety in the love of this animal that is, it's just emanating from her, like you said, with no conditions and with just, she just is the energy of love. And then her face happens to be cute to me. So the combination of liking what she looks like and the love emanating out of her, I'm just in love with her. It just gets bigger every day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Do you have that with anything? Have you ever experienced that? Like a love that grows. You know how they say when some older couples who've been married for like a long, long time, they'll be like, I can't explain it, but 25 years in, I love them even more today than I did at the beginning.
I mean, I've experienced definitely versions of that, of like cyclical energy of that, like, or it might grow and then diminish isn't even the right word, but maybe go quiet.
Wax and wane, maybe.
Wax and wane. So I definitely, but then sometimes it'll be like, oh my God, I'm so, you know, that's definitely happened with Rami over the 25 years of our relationship, you know, times when it just feels like, oh my, you're the most, wow. And then sometimes where you're just like,
hey, bud.
Hey, bud. Exactly. Denise, definitely. Like there's, yeah, that one has been more one where it'll go to describe what the sounds I'm making and the gestures I'm making with my hand. It's like moments of growth and then a rest.
Yeah.
And then more moments of growth and then a long rest and then another. But those are usually based on challenges or experiences where you're like, you run it up against something, or you're quiet for a while and then you realize you've run up against something and then you engage with it. Now you can't do that with a pet. Exactly. You don't have those same, like, we need to talk.
Except,
do you have difficult conversations with your?
Well, yeah, because I have thought about this actually, because There's a lot to negotiate all the time with her. She comes with me almost everywhere. So like sometimes I'm in a hurry, you know, and I got shit to do. And I'm living this human life where there's time limits and stuff. And she's like, let's just smell this flower for 20 minutes. And so I have to like, come on, come on, squeeze, come on. And then if she doesn't listen eventually, I'm like pulling her on a leash and I feel bad about it. Because if I were being pulled on a leash, I'd be like, fuck off to the person pulling me. So I'm regularly at night, like I'll cuddle up next to her and be like, I'm sorry, did I pull you so hard on a leash earlier? I love you so much. I just had to be in a place. Like I'm like talking it out.
Sure.
Because I don't want her to feel like she's just some inanimate object that I'm dragging around with me, which to a certain degree, she gets treated like that, you know?
Right.
Because she's with me so much and she's not a person that can say words at me. Although we do communicate psychically all day, every day. It's just sometimes in the same way that like, if you have a purse, let's say you had a living, breathing purse that was cute and covered in fur.
Isn't that what you have between your legs, basically?
Hey. Yeah. But I carry my puss around, too, like an inanimate object.
You don't sit there and have difficult conversations, looking, staring longingly into a mirror.
I got stuff. I'm like, I do not want to see my vagina ever. I just don't want to see it.
All right.
I know. It's just interesting. Like, no.
I'm a fan.
I hear you. I just
visually
I don't know.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What about your own penis? Do you want to look at it?
I don't have conversations with it. It's true. I don't.
But do you want to look at it?
There have been times when I've been like, let me take a good hard look at this.
Yeah.
And it's easier when it's a good hard look.
Sure.
It's more prominent to inspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I don't have conversations with my penis.
No, but I'm thinking about looking at it. Like, I don't want to look at my vagina. I think because when I sit into it, it's like there's so many judgments in the world of like what's supposed to be going on down there that I've seen from porn that makes me just be like, nothing good is going on down there because it's not living up to America's white hegemonic patriarchal standards.
Yeah.
And also, because there's no, I'm not saying that's good, everybody listening, take a breath. It's just how I'm feeling, okay? It's just my stuff around my poon. But also, like, there's no actual way to understand. You can't have a positive judgment you can't have a positive judgment that's useful in any way, ever. Point being, what's it supposed to look like?
Right.
There's no answer.
Right.
So it's you're just
to look
like
it does. That's how it's supposed to look.
Right. Right. But it's sort of like saying if you went to the bottom of the ocean.
Okay.
You know some of those insane.
I can't wait to see where this metaphor is going.
You know where some of those. You ever see like a sea, like an undersea documentary, and they go to the bottom of the deepest parts of the ocean. They're like, look at this crazy fucking thing that's down here. Can you believe it? This thing exists with no light under billions of pounds of pressure.
Right.
And it looks like this insane mollusk with like wings and tentacles and one eyeball.
Yeah.
That's how I feel like it is when I look at my vagina. Like it looks like an undersea creature that
yeah.
just isn't of this world at all. So I
see everything you're describing is why I want to look at it.
Interesting. Yes.
But I will say you just brought up porn and I'm like, I wanted to sort of I'm analyzing a thought around like, yeah, I look at porn sometimes. Let me be very clear about that. But I actually do sometimes need to be like, I need to look at a different kind of poon.
Kind of porn.
I want to, or a different kind of poon. Like I want to see a variety. Otherwise I will get locked into a little more like, this is a pretty one. But then I'll be like, let me go look at some others. Ooh, look at that. You know, one from a different sized and shaped person. And that one's pretty hot too. But I have to kind of like to actively engage in that so you don't get pulled into the hegemonic visual palette.
Yeah, I think I have some deconditioning to do around poon imagery if I were to care about doing that, which I don't care. Because when I think about other people's poons, I'm happy to see whatever they look like.
Yeah.
It's my own.
Yeah. I remember having a pretty formative experience with a woman when I was in college. we tried dating, but we did, we like hooked up a couple of times, but they were very like meaningful. They weren't just like, oh, hookups. And one time we were early on, maybe even the first time we like were naked together, was like, I shared some like body shame with her. And then she kind of like insistently like spent time like looking at my peen and my body and like, but appreciating it, but like kind of forcing me to like, cool, this is gonna be uncomfortable, but why don't you lie there while I admire it?
Yeah.
And like tell you how beautiful it is and stuff like that and all that. And I was like, but it's the evil cudgel that does bad things in the world, you know, dealing with my own male bullshit.
Yeah.
But it was a powerful tool to have someone sort of force is the wrong word, but like,
I know what you mean.
You gently insist, like, sit there and be uncomfortable with this for a minute while I, like, yeah, so, you know, be good for you with a partner to do that with your...
You're right.
Chaunch.
I've actually had that thought many times. Like, I need that practice to just, yeah. But no thanks.
Ah. Where did we go off that? That was it. We were talking about unconditional love from a pet.
Of my dog.
And that led us to unconditional love of your...
Of the chaunch.
Of the chaunch. Of your chaunch. Not... I mean, I have unconditional love for chaunch in general, but I need you to love your chaunch.
My chaunch. Well, what will happen to you if I never love my chaunch?
My life will be slightly diminished.
No.
Because I'll be aware of a diminishment in someone I love.
Oh, boy.
God. Ugh. Shut up.
That makes me think, well, thank you for caring about my love of my chaunch. That's very nice.
What is
such
happening?
A funny word.
It's one of my favorite versions.
It's really good.
I told you the origin of that. It's my favorite story, and I'm just going to tell it again. I've told it before. We were watching the original movie, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, at a movie theater in Ukiah.
I thought you were going to say in Chaunch, California.
And there's a moment where she does like a triple backflip, whatever, handspring, and like lands. This is, what was her name? Christy?
Yamaguchi.
Swanson.
Damn it.
Christy Swanson, who is playing Buffy. Didn't really have a career after that, but in the original movie, she does like a, you know, handspring backflip and then lands with her knees like over someone's ears and like, you know, his face is right there in the middle of it. And then she like twists and kills the demon. And I hear from the front of the theater, oh man, she killed him with her chaunch. And my heart soared and it will ever soar. I hear that sound in my head, all that phrase comes all the time into my brain.
That's so funny. I don't remember that story.
Maybe I haven't told it.
I believe you, but I just don't remember. I don't remember anything, though. So
we were correct that the murder of Dan White, who was an awful human being who murdered Harvey Milk, and he... So it's called the Twinkie defense, though, actually. So the defense was that he had a change in diet from healthy food to sugary foods, and that it made him depressed, and he was out of control. And it refers, in general, to an absurd defense, the idea that you would throw up a defense that was absurd. But they never actually referred to Twinkies in the defense. That's how like popular culture titled that defense.
Okay, makes sense. I don't know why, but this is all making me think of, I have some things to share. So I'm doing Cassidy. This has made me think of you a few times since I committed to doing it. I'm doing my first stand-up show since for a long time. And I keep trying to think if I've done stand-up post the Aurora show. And I mean, I may have in Sacramento.
Didn't you do like a healing comedy show at some...
In New York, yes. And there were some stand-up jokes in that. But I haven't done a full just 45 minutes of stand-up in a long time.
Okay.
Which I'm doing on the 17th of February here with my buddy Alex, who co-owns the improv theater. I think I told you this, that he does an improvised historical rap musical about history. So he'll do that. We're doing a double feature. So I'll do stand-up and he'll do that. And it's... So I'm teaching stand-up right now. We just started it. It's going great. It's actually really fun to be back in the room with people doing that. And these are people that are not like Stanford people. So they're like real people who want to actually be funny. So they're all crazy, kooky weirdos, which is fun. Anyway, teaching it. I just produced my second big show here of stand-up with comedians on it. And now I'm doing it again. And I'm just like, God, it's such a ride. The thing that people think we go through as actors and improvisers, like, how do you do it? And how do you? And I could never, blah, blah, blah. I don't have any of those feelings around acting or improv. I have all of it around stand-up. Like, stand-up is so much scarier than all of it. It all feels like child's play compared to stand-up, only because the expectation in a stand-up audience is you're going to make us laugh every 20 to 30 seconds or so, you know, so the pressure is high. And I've been thinking about the psychology of it a lot, where I have to, for survival, click into this mode of this is funny and you will deal with me. If I click into this sort of aggressive, this works mode, it works. Knock wood. Right? God willing. Or it has always so far. But you're not always in that mode in your life. Like in life, you flow in and out of all kinds of states of consciousness. You know, is it going to work? Do I have to write a ton of new material? What if this audience hates it? Am I funny in Florida? You know, like, ugh. So I'm vacillating back and forth between those a lot, which is what makes it such a ride. It's like, I know how to coach myself internally. And I keep coming back to like, you'll prepare the way you always have. You'll work the structure the way you know how to work it. You'll run it. You'll run it. You'll run it. You'll nail it because you always have. And I know what I'm doing. I know how to do, you know, so I know all the coaching and how to frame it and da, da, da. Doesn't matter. Still terrifying. So
yeah.
Also very exciting, I have to admit. I'm having the excitement about it that I used to have, which is really fun. But it's also like that.
Yeah.
I thought people might enjoy hearing the behind the scenes of that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we talked last time about the sort of differences and how stand-up for me is the most terrifying. So I'm glad you kind of agree. Because there's nothing between you and the judgment.
Mm-mm. No,
there's no, nothing to hide behind.
Mm-mm. Straight judgy pants.
And the judgment is illustrated
loudly.
Like if I do a serious play, I don't know. Maybe it's failing. Maybe it's winning. But I can't quite tell.
Right. Because maybe they're processing. Maybe they're feeling. Maybe it's you have no idea.
Right.
Anyway, so we've spoken about it, but let's go. There you have it. There's more. We've spoken about it again. So there's that. And then my storytelling show that Rami's in happens this Sunday. Rami arrives on Saturday, but Thursday we have the run through of it. And there's that part of me that's like producing something like this is nerve-wracking in a different way, because it's like there's a part of me that's like every performer could cancel. Like what if they all were just like, I can't. And it's a 300 seat venue and we're passing out all kinds of marketing. And working hard and people are buying tickets and we have to like do something. So what if like 4 out of 6 people got COVID? Like, I mean, I guess the worst of it is like you would just cancel and reschedule. That would be what you would do. But like, it's a different kind of stress, you know?
Are you doing any kind of moth style, some audience members might tell story thing?
You know, I wasn't going to, but we did lose one performer. We had 7 and now we have 6. This was a while ago, so I don't, knock wood, anticipate more of that. But my point being, now that there are 6, I'm kind of like, maybe we should do put your name in the hat if you have an epic story of love to tell.
Here's another random suggestion. If you didn't ask for a suggestion, but I'm going to give you one anyway. Some sort of just audience interaction time when you, like, between each one, you, if you're the host, like, comes up and goes, who's got a story, like literally a 2-line thing, and you know, like have someone like just a prompt with a response, so a little basically stand up crowd work for a moment.
Yeah, that's fun.
And then just be like, oh, tell me a little more. Great, thanks. And then move on to the next storyteller, just to pad out the time a little.
My only challenge with that is because this, you're right, and maybe I will do that. I like that idea. I would have to get my head in the right space, because when I start audience riffing, it can be real stand-up comedy-y.
Yeah.
Which can be mean. Whereas a storytelling audience is like, tell us about the time you went to Jamaica.
Yeah, you want to be like, tell me more. Oh, that sounds interesting. Instead of like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, I have to keep that frame in my head, which I could do. It's just an adjustment. But that's a great idea. Thank you for that. But yeah, maybe we will do a hat. I like that idea.
Yeah, and you'd given them, you know, you could do two of those and have them only do 5-minute stories or something.
Yeah, something like that. Who's my puppy? Okay, so anyway, that's that. I got distracted by my love of my dog.
Is your Poppins show closed?
No, we have one more weekend.
Jesus, still going. All right.
I know, right? It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then after the matinee Sunday, I race across town to do the storytelling show Sunday. So that's going to be a nutty day, but a good day. So we're trying to get some people on, some other actor friends of ours. We had trouble getting Aaron, Mailing, Smith, Connor, Jamal Warner Brown to come on. How many names does Aaron have?
She just has a first name, a hyphenated middle name, and a last name.
So 4 names.
Yeah, Aaron, Mailing, Stewart. Mailing could be thought of as one name, but yeah.
Oh, I thought there was one more. My bad. I thought it was Aaron, Mailing, Smith, Stewart or something.
Maybe. Not that I know of.
It'd be funny if it was like a super Jewish name in the middle. Aaron, Mailing, Smith.
Feldstein.
Greenberg, Stewart. Speaking of Jews, I saw a really funny movie on Netflix last night that I heard no words about because the world is a streaming service now and everything's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's called You People.
I've been seeing the ads for it. It looked funny.
Oh my God. And what's his bucket?
It's got Jonah Hill.
Yes.
And it's got Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
And yeah.
Minus a couple teeny tiny at the end cheesy movie plot adjustments they had to make for time, clearly. Overall, I was so impressed with what they were able and willing to address in terms of race tensions in this movie. They balls to the walled it. And I'm very impressed.
All right, check it out.
I recommend it. There's a lot of funny jokes. There's a lot of, it's funny. It's like a funny, it was good. Good comedy film. Also, holy shit. Also on Hulu, the show Extraordinary is extraordinary. It's the everything everywhere all at once of TV, as far as I'm concerned. Like I want you to watch that as bad as Rami wanted me to watch.
Okay. I will take the recommendation.
And everybody listening, just get on it. It's so good. It's both funny and touching and also otherworldly. Everybody has kind of like a power.
Is it a fiction show or a documentary? I thought it was I was thinking of a different show, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's like a comedy.
Well, for me, also on Hulu, and I'm sort of, I've been titrating my watching of it because I didn't want it to be over, is Reservation Dogs. It's an FX sitcom, which means it's edgy, you know, it's a sitcom with real meat on the bones, but it's also a comedy. It's takes place on a reservation and it's an all indigenous written, directed, led cast. It's all young people in the main roles and they're phenomenal. They're so funny.
I'm writing it down.
But in a like, last episode, I just sat there and cried. I was like, aww. Okay, you got me. Because they do a lot of stuff with the spirit world and stuff, but it's done with both heart and total irreverence. There's like this, you know, very cliche idea of a spirit guide who keeps appearing to this one guy, but he's super funny and super ridiculous. Like, coughs every time he does a war whoop and stuff. And it's so clearly written and created by the people for whom it is, you know, it's not like me looking out and making an Indian joke, you know, it's like
right.
Folks laughing from within their own experience. And it's a good show. So Reservation Dogs.
Wrote it down. Just emailed myself about it.
All right. Nice job.
Yeah. No, I need to like, if I don't write it down, I finally was like, you know what? I'm going to start writing down every TV and film recommendation people give me because.
Otherwise they just.
I mean, I'm laying in bed with the laptop ready to go and I can't remember a single thing that's happening. And there's 5 million shows on and I can't pick anything. Because I'm like, all I see is the same Netflix show that Netflix always shows me.
Another one that I think you would like. I just started watching the first 2 episodes. It's called Poker Face with Natasha Lyonne.
Oh, I just saw the promo for that.
Yeah, it's kind of like Natasha, but it's on Peacock, so I'm not sure if you can see it if you don't have Peacock, but...
Sure.
It's totally... She's just basically like... It's Columbo meets, I don't know, Kung Fu, because like he was traveling across the land and having adventures in different places all the time. She's a human lie detector, and she's Natasha Lyonne being Natasha Lyonne, who's just like...
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's very fun.
Just like New York-y, like, what are you going to do? I don't fucking know.
She's delightful that way.
But she does the Columbo thing where she like leaves and then comes back and goes, I was just wondering, did you see the...
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's very funny. Very Katie too. Very Katie.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay.
So we were talking today about, since it's the new year, what we haven't really acknowledged the new year yet.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That maybe we do just a new year, new you reading.
Oh, I love this idea.
That just says, hey, to our listeners, we're going to open the records and just, I don't know what the question is, but maybe we can come up with
one. I do.
Good.
I think that's great. Here's what it's going to be. It'll be an homage to Teal Swan, my favorite current working consciousness teacher. I'm going to adjust my chair so we can do this well, because as you can see, I have all the blinds lights on my face.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it.
Oh, good.
The weird stripes occurring across your whole body.
In one of my 3-card spreads this week, I called myself a light zebra.
You totally are a light zebra. Hey, while you are adjusting, stop talking and saying interesting things because I have to pee.
Urination. Okay, bye.
Hey, what's up? Rami here. So I can't say that I've seen White Lotus yet, although I did watch the first 8 minutes of it. And I'm trying to consume more TV and film on the streaming services, you know? Anyway, I'm working on it. So I watched the first 8 minutes of White Lotus, and I was like, hey, this is a lot like the setup of two other films I've just watched recently, one being The Menu, super fun. It's a thriller and a parody of a thriller at the same time. And then the other one, Glass Onion, murder mystery. In all three cases, the setup, the premise is that a small number of sort of diverse personalities of elite VIP type folks go to an island. And they're very excited to get to the island. It's going to be like a elite, luxurious experience. And then, you know, what happens, happens. Murder, I think, in all three cases, actually. And I was listening to an interview with the guy who made Glass Onion and Knives Out. And he was saying, yeah, it was 2020. He was in lockdown. And so, of course, he was dreaming about going to a tropical island, well, a Greek island, actually. And, you know, like that was completely a product of the pandemic, him choosing to set it on this island, right? And then the fact that it's like a small number of elite, sort of handpicked folks is like really speaks to our COVID pandemic lockdown experience, right? Like the fear of masses and strangers and crowds, being very, very careful about who we choose to have with us, all this stuff makes total sense. And even the fact that there's murder, right? It's like, well, in 2020, we were... aware of so much death all around us. And so these other two things, I'm assuming, were also made, were also products of the pandemic. And like I said, I haven't consumed that much media, but I'm working on it. So how many other things out there are made during 2020 that are about a bunch of rich people going to an island? I'm curious. Rami's rules.
And we're back.
Well, hello. All right. So, okay. We're going to make this, in a way, an honoring of and an homage to Teal Swan, who does a yearly, she does a prediction for the coming year, every year, on the tubes of you. And I think we'll do our own version of that. We'll do the Akashic Records, Katie Rubin version of that. Now, I don't remember what the fuck she said in hers. So luckily, I don't think I can be unconsciously influenced, although who knows? But I have a pretty tough unwillingness to be influenced. So we'll be good. Okay, let's do this. I think, let's see here. Shall we open the records of the collective? No. Shall we open the records of consciousness? Yes. Okay. And you'll talk about humanity. You'll talk about whatever we want to talk about. Okay, great. All right, let's do it. All right. Let me get near to the mic again. Can I move that thing? Okay, I think we're good. You can hear me fine, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we'll take a couple deep breaths into the low belly. I've been with clients all morning, so I'm actually just going to jump in relatively quickly here. I'm going to start right in with the prayer. Okay. All right. And so we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know consciousness itself in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see consciousness itself through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the Masters, Teachers, and loved ones of consciousness have for consciousness. Okay, so as I anchor into this space, or as I start to do this here and feel these awarenesses, the first thing is they're talking about, it's sort of like, it's funny to open the, we've talked about this before, but it's here, so I'm gonna say what's here. The idea of the records of consciousness is almost like you go smaller than consciousness to go into the records, so that you have a lens through which you can hear consciousness talk. So it's sort of like going through a small thing to get to the biggest thing that there is. So it's almost like putting a limitation. It's like I have to move through a limited portal to see the limitlessness of everything. And they find that entertaining, as do I. But that's because of my human form. It's also because they want me to acknowledge I have a vigilance around integrity and not just, because, you know, a lot of people speak on behalf of consciousness, just off the cuff. And I have a thing where I'm like, let's be sure. Let's put as many measures in place to be sure. Oh, there's something happening here. Yeah, so that I don't just tell you things from my own filters or claim to be more awake than I am, you know, as an individuated ego mind. And there's a response about that. They're like, look, you're pretty damn awake, Ruben. And you do well for the sake of others and yourself to be as vigilant as you are around this for the sake of cleanliness, integrity, alignment, truth. So there's an acknowledging on both sides of that. Ugh, this energy is really big. Give me just a second. So I know that consciousness knows everything all the time, every second. So you already know what I'm asking. And I know this also because it's already responding to the internal question. But I'll state it formally, which is to say, we're looking for any insight you have for us about what's coming in 2023 for humanity, for the collective consciousness of humankind, for those of us living on Earth. I think I'd like to ask specifically too for the light workers. So kind of any and all info you can share with us about what is 2023 about for the collective?
Oh my goodness.
Okay. The yawning I'm doing and all this adjusting is me in my smaller places expanding to be able to receive all this awareness. Okay. First of all, there's a real, like a very real springing back from the contracted state of late 2019 to, you know, the end of 2022, a spring back action for the collective of humanity, where there's going to be a fair amount of, there's going to be a lot of abundance, expansion, joy, access to frequencies of light and conscious awareness that have not been available to us. It's like your concept when you talk about as humans, the other side of breakdown is breakthrough. Another way to say that is, in order to expand, you have to first contract, right? So if you think of it relationally, it's like you guys were talking about earlier today, when you have a fight that's rupture in the bond of your heart connection, and then you make up, and that would be called repair, right? Rupture and repair
is the version of it relationally.
So similarly, the contraction humanity experienced in the last 3 years almost was like the pulling back of a slingshot to propel you forward into the expansion that is available now in this particular year. Now, as we know, with expansion comes challenge for the human being, because if you're not ready to expand and the universe is expanding anyway, or you could say consciousness is expanding through humanity, because if you remember, consciousness functions like an ever-expanding wave that starts at an imaginary center point and waves outward in every direction. Consciousness is always expanding. That is the nature of consciousness, is that it's expanding, 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 expanding. So if your nervous system, your body, your mind, your spirit, your heart are not ready for expansion, because expansion brings more of everything. It brings abundance, it brings fluidity, it brings joy, it brings sex, pleasure, everything. So if you're not ready for that, the experience of expansion happening quickly can be pretty intense, because everything in the way of expansion gets kicked up, right? So if you think of it like a lot of the parts of you are in resistance to any expansion, then all that resistance is going to come up. So you can experience expansion, if you're not prepared for it, as very uncomfortable, because you're asked to step into more, step into your light, step into your potency, step into your voice, step into your visibility. There will be many opportunities for abundant stepping forwardness into your abundance, your potency, the possibilities that have seemed distant and unavailable to you will seem quite close and available to you, just within arm's reach. But you'll always, because of the nature of free will, need to reach your arm out and grab those opportunities. Don't go to sleep on what's near you, step into the light when it's applied. Now, one of the biggest mistakes humanity tends to make when opportunity arises is it shies away because it doesn't feel worthy, which we laugh and we laugh and we laugh at the silliness of that idea. You can step into opportunity no matter how unready you are. Here's the big secret, humanity. All you have to do is shut your mouth and show up on time. That's all you have to do. If an opportunity arises, you don't believe you're worthy, say yes anyway, show up at the time they say to show up. Don't say a lot of shit and do what they tell you. And you will benefit from having shown up to the fucking abundance that is being offered to you. Please don't believe the lie of the mind that says you have to be more ready than you are. You think of it this way. Any opportunity that shows up in front of you that you shut your mouth and just show up on time for and just do what is required of you in the moment, you get to go home later that night and collapse on your couch, call your best friend and freak out, scream and cry, laugh and dance, shit yourself, say you don't deserve it, whatever you want. But just go, show up on time. That's all you have to do. Woody Allen, right, was the prime example of this. This is a man who has healed almost nothing in himself. And who showed up. He talked openly about this. He said, what did he say? 98% of life is just showing up. He's right. So show up, because you'll be offered a lot of abundant possibility, opportunity, doors opening. Also, please, humanity, if you could, don't resist or say no to abundance when it's handed to you out of some weird nobility claim. I'm too noble to take this beautiful gift. That is not true. That's not correct. If you deny the expansion the universe is trying to hand you in the name of some noble reason, you are limiting the amount of noble things you could do in the future. You know who you are. When I'm saying these words, you know if these words are relevant to you. If this doesn't feel relevant, don't listen. Not all of this is for all of you, okay? This is just whatever. If it's relevant to you, it's relevant to you. Okay. There's this really bright golden light. What is that? Sort of like they're showing me the frequency of the expansion that's available is like the frequency of gold. You know, gold as a mineral is highly valued on this planet. The expansion that's available for humanity is like gold. Step into the gold. All right, what else can you share for us about what's coming for humanity in 2023? Yeah, there's some stuff about nature, nature and animals, the animal kingdom. There will be some challenges in a pretty big way in terms of certain species not being well and certain species choosing kind of consciously to maybe be all done with Earth. Thank you very much. That being said, there will be expansion in the realm of technological advancements in the green movement. The greenification of the world is going to rapidly increase, despite and also partially fueled by the challenges we will see in nature and the animal kingdom. Will it be enough expansion in the green field or demise in the natural world and the animal kingdom to wake enough of humanity up to make the sea change we need to make to do well by the planet? No, it will not. Not this year anyway. But there will be, you could sort of see it as an interesting unfolding of two opposing energies. A lot of expansion in the green industries alongside of a lot of contraction in the natural world. So both taking place at the same time. Do they even out later? Yes, 24, 25, 2024, we'll see more alignment between the natural and 2025 and 2026 and 2027, we'll see more alignment between what's happening in the natural world and what the humans are doing. That's nice to hear. What else can you tell us about what's coming in 2023? Well, Cassidy, could you ask some questions?
My mind has gotten blank, I feel like. But what's coming in 2023?
Just connecting with you, I get, is so politics. Is your being is like, what about politics? Like, what about race relations?
Oh, that's funny. That's not where my mind was, but my heart might have been.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your being. It's like your energy. So, okay, let's look at that for just a second because it's here. Boy, I do not know how to put words around that. Let's see if I can just start. So you have the people who are fully asleep around race and judgment, right? Like just racist people who don't even care to try to be anti-racist. And then you have the performatively woke people. And then you have a kind of middle place where there's going to be a kind of meeting of the two extremes, like the Antifa thing, and then the other end of that, the KKK, right? Like the two extremes of whatever that is, there is going to be a kind of spinning off of the edges of that to blend it into a kind of middle ground preferred growth spurt for humanity around, it's like you could put it like this. You will move forward about 20% as a collective in terms of actual giving a shit about each other as equals, actual equality, actual unity consciousness, actual everybody deserves everything. You know, people are not inferior. Nobody's inferior to anybody. We'll move forward 20 to 30% on that, which is, you have to think about, a lot for humanity because of how slow it can feel and be. Let me feel into your energy again, Cassidy. Okay.
I have a question, sort of, it's more about sort of how to hold, you were talking earlier about like how best to show up for abundance and stuff like that for some of us, but it's maybe too broad a question, but I'll just say it. How to, as this year's challenges and abundances show up for us, how best to sort of hold ourselves to face them, to receive them, to do battle with them, to grapple with them. Like, what is the, it's almost like, what's the watchword for the year? What is the?
Okay, it's back to the thing before, it's show up.
Okay.
So, but here's what we mean. It's like somebody offers you something. They roll out the red carpet for you. You're not sure you deserve it. You're not even sure it's a good idea because of reasons. Show up anyway, and then in the showing up, you'll be given plenty of opportunities to work through your stuff around it.
Okay.
But what happens this year is so expansive that the worst thing humanity could do would be to do what it always has done, which is shy away from the light and the expansion out of not feeling worthy.
And does the same go for the challenges, like the stressful things that are freaking us out and getting in the way? Not the internal struggle with, do I deserve this, but the shit that comes flying at you and you got to deal with.
Oh, like for example, what do you mean, for example?
Oh, that's a great question. people losing your job family crises, because these things are all still going to happen. And I'm just wondering if there's a similar, like, you still got to just, rather than shy away, is it show up to that too and just stand in the light?
No, there's a different energy on that. Let's see. Well, the dream, the human experience, you know, the dream for the human experience was that, always has been, that when hardship arises, the human being would drop back into themselves, feel the difficulty, process it, and come to understand themselves more intimately and be more loving towards one another as a result of going inside of themselves when hardship happens. So you could think, like, there's just, that's just the same directive it's always been. There's nothing particular about 2023 on that topic.
Okay.
All right. What else consciousness can you show us about 2023? What would be useful for people listening to hear, I think, is what I'd like to know. Okay. Something that's happening in the development of the human form over time is human beings are starting bit by bit, more and more, to value the form, the human body, the nervous system. This is a year to really focus on the form of you, your physical form. What health treatments do you require? What upgrades to your physical well-being is your body asking for? What has it been asking for some time that you've been putting off? There's almost a directive in the consciousness that is moving through people, human beings, in 2023 that says, you will deal with your physical body now. You will deal with your physical body now, or you'll get sicker. So there's a real turning point available. Now, this is interesting because this has to do with what Ra, your Ra person, channeled with regard to human design, wherein, you know, the human has evolved into a new form that is meant to be understanding its reality, its external reality, its internal reality, and the mystical connection between the realities through the body, through the body organism, through the intuition and the wisdom of the body, through the guidance system that is the psychic antenna of your body form. Boy, the best thing humanity could do collectively would be to do emotional vipassana, which is to say, close your eyes in 2023, sit on your couch, call up all the feelings you're in avoidance of, and feel them until they move and process and release into something else. This would be healthy for the physical form, healthy for the spiritual body, healthy for the emotions, healthy for the collective. And there's a directive now to understand from consciousness, for the human to understand it's the absolute same-samery of body, spirit, being, feelings, form, God, mysticism, consciousness. It's all about embodiment now. There are forms coming in now already, and more coming, particularly 2026, 2027. It gets really ramped up. Forms of human beings arriving who will function so differently than how the majority of you function now, you will be stunned and amazed. Ra spoke of this, and we give it to you now in the following framework. You know, the cataclysmic leap forward in consciousness that the Earth took a few years back, her consciousness itself evolved so quickly and so rapidly and so much that it made this planet habitable for a more advanced form of human being, frankly. The gap in consciousness between Gen Z and the boomers, okay, is what it is, in fact, wider than the gaps between similar amounts of time apart generations in the past. It is a wider gap. Gen Z is actually weirder, more awake, more evolved, more in their body, more of the light, like a lot more than Gen X and the boomers and Gen Y and all that. After them comes a race, or you could say, or a layer of humans that are, you're not going to know what to fucking do with them. You're going to have no idea what to do with them if you're still functioning from anything really of the old world. Any logic systems, any, fuck, anything other than just pure consciousness, which, you know, a lot of people don't. So that's going to be a real shakeup in a couple years, but we speak of it now because the expansion we're speaking to of 2023 that is available for each of you, we would highly encourage you to lean in. Remember, because so that you're in preparation now for what's coming in 2026, 2027. Remember that with expansion comes a breaking down of the old structures inside of you. So don't be afraid of dying to your old self and waking up to a whole new thing. There is so much more conscious awareness available to the humans. A, the form can receive more now, the body of a human in general. B, consciousness is like moving, you know, like the wind, just more like a solar flare. It's moving like that. So shit, you know, you're gonna burn up the old and evaporate everything you were and become the new, or just die in the process. meaning if you resist, right, and become married to your egoic notions of self or your you know, identity attachments that keep you stuck, you're going to struggle a lot more and have a lot more pain as this expansion occurs. So, you know, we would recommend being supple and receptive. So I'm just asking, is there anything about like anything else specific, financial markets or like countries or Russia or anything like that? And they just give me a no. And I've been asking for a little minute here and I'm not sure why that's a no. Oh, they just don't want us focused there. The focus should be, for those of you hearing these words, if you're so inclined and if this resonates for you, on your expansion, period. Remember, okay, one of the structures that's dying is the traditional relationship romance structure. Man, woman, house, married, children, forever. You're going to see a lot of people's expansion looks like, I can't live in this tiny structure anymore. I have to expand beyond it. Like a huge phoenix coming out of a tiny chicken's egg. This is the collective soul of humanity. You'll see it a lot in women age 50 and older just saying, nope. And then the younger generation already just came in saying, nope. And so there's going to be a lot of like, no thanks to the structure of that. So we, you know, anyone 50 and older or even 45 and older hearing this, we would pray for you from the depths of the angelic realm that you not judge yourself, that you be merciful if you need to destroy and obliterate the structures you've been living within all this time. Don't be afraid. Of course, we know as we say that you will be afraid. So be afraid and show up anyway for yourself. And your own expansion. Remember, as you expand, you give people around you permission to expand as well. expansion is never a problem. Expansion is always for your highest good. It feels hard in the short term, but it's for the greatest good in the long term. Any questions about this?
Well, I'm just think about the people. You say it's not, you know, it's never a bad thing, but then sometimes you will have people that will react to that expansion with their own contraction and anger and which is about their own shit. But it's just interesting to be aware that just because they're reacting does not make what you're doing wrong.
No. Yes, of course not. Correct. Cool. Any other questions?
No, I feel like that's a lot to chew on.
Okay. Let me just see if there's anything else. No. There's one other, just remember this. It's sort of like, this will be a really great year for the principle of, you know, tend to your own garden. You know, like, if each human being were to truly tend to their own garden in the sense of deal with what comes up for you around your own expansion, we promise from the realms of conscious awareness that this is the way. If everyone were to tend to the garden of their own expansion, that is the way for the collective to wake up most quickly. It always seems like tend to someone else's garden, deal with the garden across the pond, fix the problems of the other garden. It's not. Just tend to your own garden because a couple reasons. One, it takes a lot of energy to really, really care about yourself and to really process everything that happens in an expansive period of time. It takes a lot of attention on yourself. This is not unhealthy selfishness. This is healthy self-focus for the sake of the expansion of humanity. And number two, this is hard for humanity. This one is hard. You've got to evaluate when you're going outward to fix a thing, what in you is so uncomfortable. Focus on that, and the outward stuff unfolds organically. That's not just a platitude. That's how your reality works. Does that make sense?
Will you just say it literally again?
Yeah. Which part? The second part?
Just the thing. Yeah, not the tend to your garden part, but the thing about when you outward reality.
Okay.
I got lost in the middle.
It's very tempting to, for human beings to go, look at all these problems outside of me. I'm going to go fix those problems outside of me. Without understanding the motivation that they actually have for wanting to do so, which really is something inside of them that needs tending to. I'll give you an example. So Katie, we'll use Katie. She tried to get her mother to heal so she and her mother could have a loving relationship. Go to therapy with me, read these books, understand these concepts. Mom, figure outside of me. When finally she was able to understand, oh, I am trying to get her to heal so that I can feel whole inside myself and feel the loving holding of a nurturing mother figure. I'm trying to change her for me. What she then understood was, what if I just tended inside of my body to the brokenheartedness of the part of me that didn't get that mothering? In so doing, that part got the mothering from herself. Then she didn't need the outer mother to change behavior. And her life became expansive and light and happy and free. And the weight of trying to change this outer circumstance was gone. Does that clarify?
I think so.
So if you look at, let's fix it all outside of ourselves without ever understanding inside yourself where your heart is broken. And instead, if you were to tend to your brokenheartedness, if everyone did this on earth, you don't believe us when we say it, but there would be magic ripple effects into the external reality. The external reality would fix itself. That's not a fantasy story. That's how the fabric of consciousness works. It's a it's an idea that humans really hate a lot of the time. Hate, hate, hate. And misunderstand. And all we can do is repeat it. So there you have it. I mean. It's funny. I'm aware of all the lifetimes I've been here saying the same thing over and over. At a certain point, it is pretty funny. You have to laugh. Okay. All right. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion. The lords of the records for their point of view. And the Holy Spirit of light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return consciousness to itself and return us to our complete human wholeness now. The divine portal and the Akashic records of consciousness are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of consciousness are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of consciousness are now closed. Amen, amen, amen. Shadowan Laylaha illallah, Shadowan Muhammad Abduhu Rasulullah. Funny, I watched my blood sugar levels crash during that. That was like burning a lot of blood sugar.
Oh wow,
it was so interesting. It was very clear when it was happening. I don't actually feel weak or anything. It was just like, oh, look at that.
There it goes.
Boom! Yeah, that was cool. Thanks for reminding us we were gonna do that.
Yeah, that's a good start to the year, even though it's now February. My God.
Wow, that was fast. January just...
Yeah. Pew, pew, gone.
Yeah.
Pew!
All right, my friend.
Yeah, let's do more of this. Do more work and do it all.
Okay. Let's have some expansive fun, I guess, too.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good. And receive it and, like, show up for it.
Yeah, I'm down.
Show up for the good shit.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Because you all deserve it. 100% of all of you.
Love you.
Love you. Do some work.
New York.
Bye.
Bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @AllAnswersPod, @AllAnswersPod. Thank you.
Don't mind us, Desmond. We're just making out, me and my dog.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
And we are back.